It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Oppen Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. As a stand-in for Not My Beat today, if you will, as all of the reporters who covered the NFC Coaches Breakfast this morning seem to all be on the same flight back to D.C., Standing, Nikki, everybody. They're all back on the same flight. And so we are going to, instead of getting one of those who was sitting at that table, we're going to get you Logan and I's reaction to it because, our analysis we think is pretty darn good. And so without further ado, Logan Paulson and I, this morning from Take Command, talking about everything Dan Quinn was saying this morning live as it was happening, plus some of thoughts on one of the big things that Adam Peters said yesterday at his media availability.
The NFC Coaches Breakfast Tuesday. Yeah, you ever go to the owners' meetings? They ever send you those?
I've never been down there, but I was checking out Sam Fortier on Instagram yesterday, and it doesn't look like it's a bad spot to go. I'll tell you that.
No,
I mean, it is like right on the water. Looks nice.
Yeah, it's Anthony and I were joking about this on the radio show yesterday. It's like, you know, it's the hotels that you and I don't even know exist kind of place. Like, you know, oh, the Ritz-Carlton, that's not nice enough. Find me the Breakers Palm Beach or the Biltmore in Phoenix, and it's like, you just wander around this hotel that you're afraid to, like, you know, pull up a carpet string because it'll cost you $10,000. And there's executives and everybody walking around everywhere. Everyone's way more relaxed. Like yesterday, Adam Peters spoke and it was the most relaxed, most verbose I feel like I've ever heard him. You legitimately have breakfast with the coaches, which is always great for radio as the one person who really, really cares about the sound quality in the media. When I was back on the beat, is the only radio beat reporter. It's really great to have the some of the most important sound bites of the offseason with clanking forks in the background. But it's a great time. So we're actually recording this Tuesday morning as DQ is wrapping up the coach's breakfast. Adam Peters spoke yesterday. So we're going to talk a little bit about what they said, and then we're going to get into your mailbag questions per usual for our early week podcast. So I guess the big story, Logan, is confirmation on something from Dan Quinn yesterday or this morning where he says that Brandon Coleman is going to play right tackle. I'm glad I read multiple folks on this because it's not he's going to play right tackle. It's he's going to move to the right side. We're going to start him at tackle, which is a very different thing than like he's our starting right tackle. Clearly, that is the A1 plan, and we're hoping that it works out. But it sounds like tackle first. Let's see if we can make him a really good right tackle. And if it doesn't work, then we'll kick him out into guard. And then you just got to wonder, like, how long is that leash? Is it Brandon Sheriff 2 days of camp long? Or is this a, hey, we're going to give it a couple weeks. And obviously we'll give it the spring, but in training camp, like how long does that leash ultimately wind up being?
Yeah. And I think obviously, like we've talked about this a lot with Brandon Coleman and Laramie Tunsil in conjunction with the Laramie Tunsil addition. But I do think like when you look at value, and I know people are looking at guard contract value at the moment and they say, oh, well, guard and tackle are getting closer. Like you just need to get, you know, 4 or 5 good guys and kind of figure it out from there. I still think when you just look at the landscape of the draft this year, the landscape of the draft last year, it's just hard to find tackles. And so if you can get somebody who can play right tackle in Brandon Coleman, again, who has the length, who has the athletic measurements and all the kind of testing numbers that would fit a tackle, I would just definitely give that a really strong look because, again, there's more to me, there's more value in it. It's harder to find guys to fill those roles. And so I think it's the right move. I think it's a smart move. But like you said, like, and I think it's something that we've kind of alluded to this whole time. Like if it doesn't work out at tackle, I think he's good enough. I think he is an NFL offensive lineman. So whether that's him playing guard or playing, you know, right tackle, I think that'll kind of shake out in the wash. But I do think ultimately, like the thing to kind of take away is that you're going to get better at two spots with the Laramie Tunsil addition either way. And so, so I think that's, again, it's a little bit confirmation bias, a little bit kind of supporting things we'd kind of hypothesized. It's nice to hear Dan say that and kind of give us a direction for the rest of the offseason. But I think it's a good move.
Yeah, and it's not any different than what we'd expect considering, you know, one thing that Adam said yesterday about someone, I think he was talking about the tight end room. He's like, we just want a culture of competition. If Andrew Wiley's smoking Brandon Coleman in training camp, like they'll find another spot for Coleman, especially right now with Cosme out. Like there's an extra spot available, which was kind of funny because he was like, DQ was like, you know, it's going to be on the right side. And it's like, well, if he doesn't work out at tackle and then all of a sudden Sam comes back at right guard, you'd imagine that Coleman's going to wind up playing left guard. But we'll see how that machination works out during the season. Maybe this is all for moot and he really is going to be the right tackle because it works out just fine. It's not like he was terrible last year by any stretch of the imagination. Struggled a little bit late as he got hurt, but we'll see where that goes. The other positional news coming out of the coach's breakfast this morning from DQ is new corner Jonathan Jones going to apparently play a little bit more inside. Mike Sainer still going to stay outside for right now. They're both going to cross train at both positions. And obviously this could change if all of a sudden the best player available on their board at 29 is a corner and it's that outside guy and they get someone who they think can play out there. I don't think they'll hesitate to move Mike Sainer still back inside. But as of right now, the base going into the draft is it sounds like Sainer still is going to cross train at both. Jonathan Jones going to cross train at both, but shade more inside. That means Sanders still would be shading outside. What do you make of that? Obviously opposite of Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think that's kind of exactly what I thought was going to be happening, right? Like, you know, Mikey did a great job last year. I think Jonathan Jones, a really good football player that, again, to me, he just feels like the guy that can do anything. You know what I mean? He can kind of play outside if you need him to. He can back up in the slot. And so why not? You know, like, why not just have, like, kind of give Mikey his home? Jones can back up anything. You got Noah Igbinoghene still on the roster, right? Like he can play the nickel if you need to. Like it's good to get, it gives you more flexibility. Just like the same thing with the offensive line. It just lets you get your best 3-4 guys and dime out on the field. And I think like that's awesome, you know? And so obviously Jonathan Jones played predominantly outside last year, but he has played nickel in the past. So I think it depends on who you think is the best player outside. And right now I'd probably assume it's Mike Sander still based on how he played last year. But again, like it's still so early in the offseason, a lot of stuff still needs to happen. And I think this gives you a direction of what they're thinking right now. And it's so funny when you talk to fans or when I talk to players that I consult with, it's like, this is how they feel today. But like when they get to camp, it might look totally different. When they get to OTAs, it might look totally different. And this might go in a completely different direction. And I think you just have to be ready as a fan base for that. But I think this is a good starting spot.
For sure. It was interesting, too, to hear DQ talk about the things that attracted them to Jones. Speed and tackling. He was very clear about those two things. And so, obviously, he's not probably as fast as he used to be. But this is a guy that ran like low 4.3s when he came out. Yeah. He just came out a decade ago at this point. But still super fast. And the tackling is what you want in that nickel spot. So it makes a ton of sense for like a guy who's going to have run support responsibilities. I thought Renner was so good with us last week when he talked about how, you know, that nickel spot, you're kind of a linebacker in the run and a DB in the pass. And so you need someone who knows how to fit runs, who can make, you know, solid tackles in the run game, not to mention the screen game is such a huge part of what so many teams do now. Can you get out there and be a sure tackler on the edge? So that sounds like what they're going to do with Jonathan Jones and Mike Sanders still. Last but not least, this was news from the Adam Peters side of the house yesterday. And not really news, but I thought just really good perspective. And I was kind of mad at myself, frankly, Logan, for not thinking of this sooner. But Adam was asked about using all these draft picks for trades. And he was, you know, like, look, you got to take advantage of opportunities. A guy like Tunsil's not available very often, you know, same thing with Debo. Like, you know, I know him really well. Opportunity presented itself. And for the cost, it was a no-brainer for us. But the concern is that you don't get the cheap talent, if you will, that you get when you use your draft picks on actual young players in the draft and you get the rookie contracts. Well, Peters reminded everybody that last year, Logan, they drafted 9 guys. And every single one of them made the team. And that's before you add Colson Yankoff and Tyler Owens, 2 undrafted free agents. So we're talking about 11 guys on rookie contracts in one season. And obviously, 7 rounds in the draft, you start with 7. You can always get the compensatory picks, whatever. But if you take that and say, hey, we need to average 21 picks over 3 years or 14 picks over 2 years. If you go this year, the 5 picks they have, 11 plus last year, 11 last year, 5 this year. That's 16. They're ahead of schedule. 5 next year. Even if they don't make a move and recoup any more draft capital, they're still sitting at 21 over 3 years. And that's me adding on that, not Adam. But like, I think that's what he's insinuating is like, guys, relax. We're fine. What do you make of that reminder, if you will? And does it change at all? I know we've been fairly supportive of these trades. We like them just because that's our analysis, not because we're like, go team, pom-poms, yay.
Right.
But like, does that even, I guess, strengthen your support for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, like, I do think that retaining draft capital, retaining cost-controlled assets is important, right? But I also think finding good football players is equally as important. I think when you looked at the direction that this roster to go, like, needed to go, like the Laremy Tunsil train specifically, like, had to happen. Like, I don't know how else you would have done it. So for whatever the cost, whatever the kind of cap ramifications, like, to me, that doesn't even matter because you needed to get a player in at that position. And it wasn't going to happen in the draft, most likely. And it wasn't going to happen in free agency, just to get that cleared up here. I do think that, you know, obviously the 11 rookies last year, the 5 and the 5, I think that kind of is a nice illustration of the direction this could go. But like, as you know, Craig, you've covered the NFL for a long time. Like, it's those 11 guys, some of them might not make the team this year, right? Like, there might be some turnover there, right? And I do think that Adam is aware of that. So I do think at 29 this year, like Mike Renner talked about, like, trading out of that spot, recouping some draft capital this year, making sure you're locked in with your free agency stuff. I mean, the more draft study I do, the more I'm like, man, free agency, if you handle it right, or the UDFAs after the draft, like, yeah, it can be an absolute gold mine. So I think if you can mine those opportunities well, find good football players, they can do this in different ways. Like, when I was in Atlanta, I remember they brought in like 20 or 17 undrafted free agents because they had 4 draft picks 1 year. And if you do that, if you handle that process appropriately, you can get good football players there too. So I think the point stands, right? I think it becomes a little bit more challenging now because you have less high draft capital to work with. But I also trust that Adam is acutely aware of that. I also know that next year we're going to have some coaches leave, right? We're going to get some compensatory picks. Players are going to leave. We're going to get some compensatory picks. So all of a sudden this 5-5 is now, maybe it's 6 this year with a trade back, and maybe it's 7 next year with some comp picks. So like, to me, right, it'll kind of work out in the wash, but I do think it's good perspective that Adam provided, for sure.
For sure. It just shows that you're not nearly as far behind the eight ball as some people would think because you've got 5-5. And the other reason that you want to, you know, maybe trade back and get more sooner rather than later, it's not necessarily about just what you have on draft day. they can't make the Laramie Tunsil trade if they don't have all the picks that they've got. Like, you've got to be able to make. And who says, by the way, that they don't trade someone, that they don't trade a Deron? Like, what happens if they draft a DT? Walter Nolan falls to them, and he's the guy at 29. And all of a sudden, they get to training camp, and someone else needs a defensive tackle. And they're like, hey, Deron Payne, you're in the final year of your deal. This team wants to give you an extension. We're going to make a trade. Now, all of a sudden, they get a second-round pick back for Deron Payne. Like, that could happen. Jahan Dotson got them a third last year. So, like, these things can happen in training camp, in the middle of the season, in whenever. And again, I haven't heard anything. That's just me spitballing an idea in terms of that. But the more capital you have sooner, you are then more maneuverable, especially to go up in the draft or to acquire another player via trade. And ultimately, the point is to get as many good football players as possible. Yes, you want to build through the draft because that is probably where you're going to get your best players. And that is the one risk that's still on the table here. But they've maintained their first and second round picks throughout this. I guess they give up a second in 26 to Houston for Tunsil, but they could still get a second back before then. So we'll see how that goes.
And I think to your point, just kind of like think about like what it means to actually have a GM that's like, very competent at the job. Like all of a sudden everything is on the table. There's none of this like, oh no, we're fouled into five picks. Like they understand the restrictions that they place on themselves, and they understand also how to kind of get themselves out of those situations too. So I expect, again, and they're always thinking about stuff. They're always thinking about trades. They're like just how dynamic the offseason was last year, how aggressive they were in certain spots, how aggressive they were this year. This is a different kind of ball of wax than I think Commanders fans are used to. And it's a dynamic front office. And it's people that are like, it's a playmaking front office is the thing I'm going to say. And I think keeping that in mind as you look at this, like this is not going to be the same thing next year. It's not going to be the same thing in 2 years. Like they're going to work to kind of, you know, put themselves in the best situation to be successful, like you alluded to there. They're going to trade players. They're going to work comps. They're going to trade back in the draft. Like, even if you trade out of that second round spot, just as a hypothetical, like, you're going to recruit draft capital for that, even if you move a couple spots. So, like, I expect them to leave the draft this upcoming year, 2025, probably with six or seven picks. Like, they're going to find a way to get that done. So, in terms of me being concerned about cost-controlled assets, all that stuff, is it something to be aware of? Yes. But do I have the utmost confidence that they are also aware of it? Yes. And do they know how to rectify and fix some of these restrictions that they place on themselves? I think that's also emphatically yes. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited for draft night, is because I can't wait to see them kind of like work some magic and figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Although I'm not that excited for draft night because I'm like, oh, they're just going to get to 29 and trade the pick and it's going to be like midnight and I'm going to want to go to bed and I'm old.
True.
And that part of it is it's past my bedtime. Commanders, please keep picking past my bedtime. It is worth it. It is worth it for all the joy that it brings us during the season. I just to wrap this up, like that is something I've learned from covering them and also, frankly, the Wizards. The Wizards are a very dynamic front office that you are constantly, like, of course, how you write a particular season, like it's over when it's over. Like no matter what the Wizards do in the future, the 2024 season will have been terrible in the win-loss column. They stink. And they're doing that on purpose for a thing, and that's on a different show because this is the Commander show. But like I've learned to understand how they operate, where it's like we acquire this second round pick or this late first so that we can trade up later. Like it is a constantly moving equation that you can grade it as you go. But it's a good way to look foolish and wind up on Cold Takes Exposed later because you are often grading something that is only halfway done. And Adam Peters operates in many ways the same way, where you might have it's chess. Like you're thinking multiple moves ahead, and that is how this goes. Same way where you might have it's chess. Like you're thinking ahead, and that is. All right, not sure what happened at the end there, but that was Take Command. For the full version, check out the Take Command feed where we talked about also a bunch of mailbag questions. Anthony, we got a fun question that we answered today because Logan mentioned this on the last mailbag that he has taken some rugby stuff. Like he's watched rugby because his son's playing rugby now and he's used some rugby stuff in his training. He did some as a player where he was like, oh, that's an interesting way to practice that thing or do that thing. Also from like combat sports.
And we got a YouTube comment that was like, hey, can Logan talk about that more? Because he mentioned it in the last show. So we talked about that. We also got into some of the wide receiver stuff, draft questions, all the things that you'd usually expect on a Take Command mailbag. So that is online now wherever you get your podcasts. When we get back, the NFL decided not to change one rule that was bantied much about, but make some other significant changes. We will review the day from the NFL owners' meetings and what they decided to do and not next here on the Team 980.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too. At the Team 980. Anthony, I ate lunch a little early today compared to what I have been eating it lately, which is very close to showtime. And I'm afraid I'm getting hungry. And I'm also afraid that I'm getting hangry.
You know what you got to do, Craig?
What's that?
Got to start packing some sandwiches, man.
You know, I thought, should I bring a snack? And I was like, no, you had a big lunch, bro. Like, you'll be fine. I'm an adult. I know how to feed myself. Everything's great. Everything's fine. The NFL owners meetings are happening down in Florida. Actually, they're wrapping up, everyone on their way home to their respective homes. We're, I think, going to talk to Ben Standing about everything tomorrow, during this hour. But as for today, left to our own devices, we would like to talk a little bit more about the rule changes now that we know what is and isn't happening. The isn't, I feel like, Anthony, is the biggest story. Tush Push somehow has survived. Even though there was a ton of momentum building behind banning it, it needs 24 votes to get banned. It was 16-16, and the final vote has been tabled. And a month and a half from now, May 20th and 21st, the next set of owner meetings in Eagan, Minnesota, that is where the final vote, or at least the next vote, will go down in terms of the tush push for the 2025 season and beyond. You remember those were the owners' meetings a couple of years ago up there in Minnesota where most of the final work was done to approve Josh Harris as the buyer for the Commanders. So if that sounds familiar, that's why. Of course, the final vote happened in July, and then we had a big party, you know, back at the bullpen. It was a good time. Good time was had by all. Things have been hunky-dory ever since. So the tush push, though, I think what's interesting is the arguments being made. And I think that the NFL folks that are in favor of banning it would be better and have better results if they were just honest. Because honestly, I'm slightly pro-ban. I actually don't have super strong feelings about this. Because on one hand, I think this is a play that schematically takes advantage of rules that are not fair to defenses. And that is very different than I have injury concerns or it's a rugby play. It's not a rugby play. And I think Logan did a really good job of explaining that actually on Take Command today, as someone who like watches a lot of rugby and watches and played a lot of football, that like the organization of a rugby scrum is very, very different than a tush push. This is a football play, but it's one that takes advantage of the fact that the offense is allowed to push the ball carrier and the defense is not allowed to push their own guys back. So you can just, it's a physics problem. You just center more mass and create more force in one place in one direction. Plus, you have the advantage of the offense knowing what the snap count is, which is always the case. And it's basically impossible to stop. I say basically, though, because the Eagles are also 11% more effective on it than the rest of the league. And so clearly there's something about what the Eagles do that is just different and better, and they spend practice time on it and the whole deal, and however they execute it, they're just better at it. And maybe it's purely Jalen Hurts that he's the best quarterback to possibly do it because of how damn strong his legs are, combined with how good their offensive line is. Maybe that's it. But I do think even without that factor, I would be pro banning. You can't push a ball carrier immediately at the line of scrimmage. It's one thing if it's a scrum that's later on in the play down the field, but like in the immediacy after the snap, I'm pro you can't push dudes. And I still think the Eagles would be the best quarterback sneak team in the league. I still think a lot of other teams would have a problem stopping it, but I am pro banning it. But the idea that there's like, I mean, some people literally have been like, well, we have injury concerns, but there's no data to back it up. And I'm not looking for injury data. I'm not looking for someone to get catastrophically hurt. And then all of a sudden to be like, okay, well, that's why we got to ban it. But you would think, one, there would be more injuries on it if there was a risk. And two, at least show me the data that makes you think that it is a risk. You literally don't have anything. So you have people lying, like Matt LaFleur is not lying. Matt LaFleur doesn't know what he's talking about in this particular case. And I really like Matt LaFleur a lot, but like he clearly knows nothing about rugby if he thinks this is a rugby play. Two, the injury data doesn't exist. And I think if people just came out and were like, look, this rule, it was not legal a couple years ago because you used to not be able to push like this. We would like to go back to that because it swings things too far in the offense's way, and we would like the defense, who is screwed by most of the rule changes in the last 20 years in the NFL, to have not this go against them too, then at least you'd be being honest, and I'd actually support that.
When you bring up the fact that the tush push feels like, you know, this is the offense taking advantage of the rule book, it makes me think of Dwayne Wade. Makes me think of James Harden and how they sort of kind of manipulated the
Durant, you know, the sweep through.
Yep. So what did the NBA do? They, you know, did away with, you know, giving those guys free throws for those, or, you know, calling fouls for those. So I'm not going to say I'm pro or I'm anti. I'm pro banning the tush push, but at the same token, I'm not all the way on the other side.
I don't think this is a catastrophe that has to be fixed that's ruining the game.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, if it was that unstoppable based off the rules where it just was ruining the game, then other teams would be as good at it as the Eagles.
Exactly.
And that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The sweep-through rule thing, like, that drives me insane. Like, I'm sitting here in defensive position. You whack the ball into my arms, and that's a foul on me? I was in legal guarding position. Honestly, it shouldn't be a foul. If anything, it's an offensive foul because you're creating the contact, but it doesn't create an advantage for the offensive player. So I can get on my horse about that, another day. But like, the whole point of a foul in any sport is something illegal that creates contact for or creates an advantage for one team or the other. If you whack the ball into my arms and lose the basketball and I was in legal guarding position, that makes you an idiot. Why is it a foul on me? That's a different rant for a different time.
They found the loopholes.
I said it's a rant for a different time and then I just did the rant.
That's all right.
It's a very concise rant. It's very stupid. These things I think are actually smart. The ones that got passed, I actually quite like a lot of these. One, the dynamic kickoff is here to stay, but they're moving touchbacks to the 35-yard line. So if now you kick the ball through the end zone, you're giving them the ball, the offense, the ball at the 20 or the 35-yard line. So it used to be the 20, then it became the 25. I think last year it was the 30, and now it's the 35. Darren Rizzi, who's now the special teams coach with the Broncos, last seen as the interim head coach of the Saints, he is one of the primary architects of this revamp, according to Kevin Seifert at ESPN.com, and he projects that 70 to 75% of kickoffs will be returned in 2025. And that is in conjunction with the concussion rate on kickoffs last season dropped 43% from 2023. So can they still happen? Unfortunately, we know that is very much the case. Austin Eckler got absolutely rocked on that play against the Cowboys. But it's much more in line with any other play in football and the standard risk than the craziness that was happening on kickoffs seemingly every other kickoff in previous years. So I like this both in that you are getting the kickoff return in the game. It's an exciting play. There's a chance for big stuff to happen. Special teams matters. And also, it's safer. So this is good for me.
Thumbs yeah, that's up. A great one.
The owners approved a competition committee proposal to add responsibilities to its replay assist program. The on-site replay official will now be permitted to reverse flags that are thrown for hits to defensive players, along with fouls or face mask, horse collar, tripping, running into the kicker. Those replay officials, however, will not be able to add a flag when an obvious foul has gone uncalled. I get it. I kind of wish they could also do that, where it's like, yeah, that guy got yanked down by his face mask. We should have called a flag there. I don't get, like, why can you pick a flag up but not throw one if it's that obvious? But I, at the very least, like taking the step to say, you know what? That was a dumb face mask call. That guy got brought down by the helmet or got brought down by a shoulder pad, not a face mask. His head just kind of whipped the wrong way or whipped in a weird way that made it look like a face mask from behind when the official was out of position to make the call. Maybe he was in position, but couldn't see the call clearly. Let's not. We saw it on one replay that it was wrong. Let's change it. Like, I am for that in the game as often as possible, that it truly doesn't slow the game down, but we get more stuff right. Applaud on that.
Yeah. But how long will these reviews take? I don't want these guys taking forever or, like, you know, replay assistance on, like, every little flag.
But that's the thing. The replay assist doesn't take long at all.
Okay.
These are the ones where they just get in the referee's ear and they're
okay,
like,
got you, got
hey,
you, got
the
got
replay
you.
Assist sure. has said, blah, blah, blah. They take 30 seconds, if
I
that.
Bet.
Like, make all replays replay assist. We don't need the actual referee to go look at a monitor.
Yeah, messing up the flow of the game. I don't want that.
Yeah. So that's that. All right, there's a couple others as well. Some that got approved, some that did not. Some of these are about on-the-field stuff. There's one that's actually about free agency that I think is really, really interesting as well. We'll tell you more about what else went down at the NFL owners' meetings today next on the Hoffman Show. 6 o'clock, our pal Ben Pickman rejoins us. Ben has joined us a little bit here and there throughout the college basketball season. He covers women's hoops for The Athletic. Paige Beckers went bonkers again last night, but there's also huge off-the-court news. It's going to affect the WNBA draft. That is what we're going to talk about with Ben as well coming up at 6 p.m. Right now, though, back to the NFL and the owners' meetings and the rules changes that happened. So we went through the big ones, Anthony, the ones that I think everyone's kind of heard about, the ones that were, tush-push ban gets pushed to, what is it, May, the replay assist, all that. Here's some of the other stuff that went down on Tuesday. Ready for these, Anthony?
Yes, sir.
All right. Approved a proposal from the Eagles to give each team a guaranteed possession in overtime during the regular season. Previously, a team with the first possession can win in overtime if they scored a touchdown. This rule change aligns with the philosophy with a previous change to postseason overtime, except regular season overtime will remain limited to 10 minutes. I'm fine with this. I didn't think this had to change. I do think that looking out for player safety and not extending games is probably more important over the course of a regular season. But overtime also does, like, how many overtime games have the Commanders played in the last couple of years? Not many. Like, I don't think there's a ton of teams that have played a lot of overtime. So if 1 week you have to play a little longer, and now that game is even longer because you have the chance to get the ball after the other team scores a touchdown, but there's only 10 minutes. Like, this is fine to me. I think capping at 10 minutes is probably the most important thing here.
Yeah, and the fact that it is 10 minutes, I think that's beneficial for, like, you know, both teams. But it will be funny, though, if you know how the Chiefs got the ball in the Super Bowl and they literally ran the clock all the way down to, like, the last. Granted, they scored on a walk-off touchdown, but, like, if they didn't score, they would have just been able to kick the field goals and the other team wouldn't have been able to get the ball. I think the 10-minute will probably be adjusted sometime in the future.
No, because I think at some point you have to just be like, if you give up an 8-minute drive and they score a touchdown, and then you've got to go on a 2-minute drive and you have to score a touchdown, your defense should have played better. Like, at some point you have to just look at the defenses. Now, if it's one thing if they, you know, oh, you gave up a whatever instantly, okay, now your offense has a chance to respond. But, like, if you get that cut short, like, come on. make a stop. Don't allow an eight minute 13 play touchdown drive and put your offense in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Next one. The league has endorsed the competition committee's request to add additional specifics on prohibited actions that would violate the league's unsportsmanlike rules, including a throat slash gesture, simulating firing or brandishing a gun, or displaying the nose wipe gesture. I know that this is the no fun league kind of thing, Anthony, but, like, I'm fine with it. Ultimately, the NFL is trying to be family friendly. And, like, I'm conscious of the fact that people bring kids to the games. And, like, I'm not, again, you can't protect kids from everything. And kids are watching the games at home. And so, like, do I think that they should allow a lot more stuff than they do? And do I think that there's, like, some of the celebrations that are considered brandishing a firearm or a weapon are very, very silly? Like, what's the difference in a sword versus, like, hey, we were simulating fencing in the Olympics? Like, some of this is very, very stupid, but things that are very specifically firearms and very specifically drugs or gang affiliated, but specifically, like, the nose wipe, you know, or some of the other things that are drug related, or, like, a throat slash. What's the kid friendly version of that? When you can explain to me why you'd want your 5-year-old doing that, then it can be in the NFL. Until then, like, you find another way to celebrate. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, though, I really do like CeeDee Lamb's celebration. Now, all the other ones, the brandishing the weapons and the firearms, those got a little out of hand. But I don't know.
Like, I like the Josh Sweat. You know, instead of doing it here, you do it up top, and it's like, oh, I'm Sweat. Bang. That's cool.
Yeah, that's smooth.
Yeah, so just, you know, hey, be a little more creative. Like, some
CD said he got more in the chamber, so.
Some of the stuff, or he shouldn't say in the chamber, because that'll get banned too.
God dang.
this one is super interesting, Ant. I didn't know this one was on the table, actually, to be honest. They've approved a proposal from the Pittsburgh Steelers to have one video or phone call with no more than 5 prospective free agents during the negotiation period before the formal opening of free agency. Previously, teams could only speak with the agent of the player during the period. So this is, I guess, technically the legal tampering period.
I was about to say, is this before or after, like, the legal tampering period?
This is during the negotiation period before the formal opening of free agency. So this would be the legal tampering period. So what I think this is probably in part in response to is, remember when the Falcons got whacked for this with Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that might have been even before the legal tampering period, so that would still be illegal. But it's the same thing to be like, part of this is like, hey, we're signing you. We've agreed to terms. Everything's just gone through the agent. Now can, like, the coach talk to the player. So one, it's a recruiting thing. And like, if the player probably wants to talk to the coaches and the staff, like, I think this is good for players too. Like, if we're going to agree to terms of a contract, it'd be cool if you could actually talk to the coaching staff. You want to figure out, have a question about your role, you want to do whatever, at least one call, fine. Like, I think the legal tampering period's stupid and they should just open free agency, but that's just me. But to be able to have that on top of the logistics side of it, like, hey, are you going to, because I don't know, I guess the agent could take care of some of this, but like, hey, we want you to come here and be able to sign the contract on Wednesday. Where are you? We'll send the jet, depending if it's like a big time free agent, or like, how many tickets do you need for your family? Like, some of that stuff, certainly agents handle, but you know, the logistics people with the team to be able to pass the phone around and be like, hey, by the way, what number do you want? Like, you can have some of those personal conversations with the player, and you can get them done ahead of time. So there's a lot of reasons both in the before a team has agreed to sign a player and after that I could see why this would be beneficial.
Yeah, I mean,
I can see why. Stupid. It's the legal tampering period is so stupid.
I mean, I can see why it's beneficial, but also I just don't think it's really all that necessary.
Hey, I've agreed to terms with your team, but I can't talk to you.
I mean, you got 2 days to 48 hours. Is the conversation that pressing?
No, but like, why can't you have it? I think it's stupid that it's one call. Again, I think the whole legal tampering period is stupid. Like, all of it is nonsense. Just either say you can't agree to anything till free agency opens or open free agency. I mean, I guess at that point it's the same thing. Are you just sliding it back to when the legal tampering period was pretty supposed much to start? Or are you sliding the no contact? Why is there this period where you can agree to contracts and agents can negotiate, but the players can't talk to the actual teams and the teams can't talk to the player?
I do away with it.
That's what I'm saying. Other ones that got done today. Approved a request from multiple teams to allow staff members to prepare K-balls. Footballs used only on special teams before game day. That just seems like a thing that was probably really restrictive for equipment staffs. Because now all of a sudden for a 1 o'clock game, they're probably getting to the stadium at 4 a.m. just to prep the K-balls. Like, be nice to the equipment people.
Please do.
Approved proposals by the competition committee allowing two players to be designated to return from injured reserve. They are placed on IR when rosters are reduced to 53, granting playoff teams two more return from IR spots in the postseason and designating point differential as the third tiebreaker on waiver claims. The IR rules are changing every year, and I hate it. Can you guys just freaking pick some rules so that I learn and then I can be smart about things for more than 2 weeks at a time when I have to look them up again every year? I beg of you, NFL, quit changing your roster rules all the time. They also tabled further discussions about the Lions' proposal to reseed the playoffs. They did not approve Detroit's proposal to eliminate an automatic first down penalty as an imposed penalty for defensive holding and illegal contact.
Boo.
Anthony's like, let them hold. No automatic first downs. I do think it's a little bit silly the way it is. Like, I'm down to make it no first down but a 10-yard penalty. That was my solution.
Yep. It was a great solution.
They don't listen to me, Anthony. They should. And last but not least, they announced the use of Sony's Hawkeye technology to measure first downs in 2025. So, like, the Hawkeye is like what they use in tennis to see if a ball is in or out, and nobody ever argues. I don't know exactly how that is going to be determined because, like, when the knee goes down is obviously a moving target, but they're going to be able to use, I guess, is now they can probably stop the tape or, like, stop the play. And there's going to be a chip in the ball or multiple chips in the ball, maybe a chip at each end of the ball. And they'll be able to say, here's where the first down line is. This is when the knee went down. When it went down, line across, that's where the ball was. It crossed or it didn't, which is better than old men running with a chain.
Man, you just entered a choir.
And then video review and then a different group of old men grabbing the ball, putting it down, and then calling the first group of old men out with the chain.
And still getting it wrong.
The year is 2025. It was time. When we get back, Ben Pickman joins us talking hoops here on the Team 980.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.